This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
You are on the Leadership Forum right here, Top FM Listen and Leave. Good morning. My name is Grace Motiso, and this is the platform where we talk all matters leaders and followers. If you've been joining us for a couple of sessions now, around five, six sessions, we've been talking about perspectives of leadership. And on this series, what we are saying is how you perceive leadership will determine how you lead. And you're focused on several perspectives. We started with theory X, theory Y, transactional, transformational, servant leadership. Last time we were together, we talked about Machiavelli perspective. And we invite you to join our discussion today. And remember, you can patch the discussions we had on the previous sessions on www.hopemediakenya.org/HopeFM podcast. Okay, allow us to invite Bishop Oginde on the Leadership Forum this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You've been well?
Very well. By God's grace, yes.
What nice thing has happened to you this week that you'd love to share with us?
This week we spent the whole week as ESCC considering our strategy, strategic direction.
Yes.
And how do we adapt to the current circumstances in order to fulfill our mandate? And we had a very fruitful time. We left there very excited,
yes,
with very new, very good ideas on how to deal with the rising cases of corruption in our country. We want to take a very different approach to what we have been doing. That's where I spent my whole week.
You feel fulfilled and happy?
Very happy. Very happy.
I feel like asking you to share strategies, but when I say to share, the thief will know.
If you make a trap for the rat, you don't go and tell the rat, now, nimekuwekea mtego pale.
The rat can change the strategy.
Yes, it can change strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we did this week. And we had some very good facilitators who came to share with us, people who have worked in government, who have been in places where some of these things are manufactured, and gave us insight as to how things happen. So that really helped us to really understand some things and therefore be able to strategize on how we can confront, combat, prevent. We want to focus more on prevention.
Yes.
Yeah, than cure.
Okay.
Yes.
We will be waiting.
We will be waiting. Yes.
And we continue to pray for you on this platform because we promised
that we'll be praying for please,
you
please.
For God's wisdom together with your team, God's wisdom.
Thank you.
As you fight this very bad disease called corruption.
Yes. Okay. Some people have called it dragon.
Dragon, yeah. Okay, so we get back to a discussion, Bishop, on perspectives of leadership.
Yes.
You'd like to pick it up from where we stopped last time. Machiavelli wasn't so good.
The person or the
perspective. the perspective this leader has.
Yes. Not good.
Yeah. But at least we learned.
But it is practiced.
Yes.
Even though it is may not sound very good.
I saw a few people this past week. It's been an eventful week.
Yes.
Some people said some things and did some things. I thought, that one. Machiavelli, wewe, nimekuona.
Yeah. It is as bad as it sounds, it is practiced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we tackle a few questions, actually? We missed to tackle, Bishop.
Yes.
because time caught up with us.
Yes.
Somebody wrote and said, Bishop, I once served in a church and later resigned because church elders and some members manipulating me as the pastor with harsh words, in quotes, do as we want. It's our money paying you. Don't tell us what God has sent you to tell us. End of quote. The elders wanted to choose for us, the pastoral team, what sermons to preach. Can this be defined as Machiavelli leadership from those elders and members?
Yes and no. There's something called directive leadership, which stems from partly from Machiavellian approach to leadership or perspective of leadership.
Mm.
And it is also the more positive side of it is transactional.
Mm.
But directive leadership is where those people, that person who is in leadership, gives direction as to what, as to how things should be done. And they don't give you room to make any decisions, to think, to come up with different approaches to doing things. So it's very prescriptive.
Mm.
So everything is prescribed.
Yes.
And you're supposed to actually act according to that prescription. It may sound bad, but it is not that bad. There are circumstances or contexts within which only directive leadership can work.
Mm.
If you talk about the army,
yes.
If you talk about all these very clearly defined areas, especially the forces. You cannot be creative when you have been given a command.
You have to obey.
You have to obey that command, yes, and execute it, yes, in the way that it is,
that
it has been given.
Yes.
So it is not that your leader is not giving you room to think. It is the nature of the work that we do that requires that there's a chain of command.
Yes.
And that chain of command has to be followed.
Mm.
So that's called directive leadership. Now, when you pick that and put it in a different context, a church context,
yes,
an organizational context, you will find that that may not work well because it stifles creativity, it stifles independent thinking. It doesn't give room for the people that have been put in place to execute their mandate, room to do anything. So it's when I hear this kind of thing, there are churches that are like that. And in fact, when I hear the word elders, I can almost imagine which
church
that is or that could be.
Yeah,
yeah, because they are different denominational structures,
yes,
within the church setup.
Mm.
And some of them take that approach where the elders are the ones who determine what sermons you preach. They determine who is actually they set the program
for the whole year,
you know, and yours is to fit in. I was in a church with a friend.
Mm.
Not in this country. And very interesting because we were together for about 2-3 weeks.
Yes.
And that time I was senior pastor here at Valley Road, and he knew about it as my good friend. So when I was there, he was asking me, "So who is preaching for you while you are here?"
Yes.
So the word that caught my attention is for you.
For you, yes.
Because yes, it's like, what do you mean preaching for me? You know, we have pastors,
yes,
and they preach. So while I'm away, we have different people who will be preaching. Even when I'm there, they still they still preach. So we have a schedule. We know who is going to speak when. So it is not preaching for me. I said, it was very surprised.
Mm.
You mean you don't preach all the time? I said, no. The other people who preach. So he said, no, for me, I preach every Sunday. And if I have to travel and I'm not going to be there, I prepare my sermon and I leave it for one of the pastors to to preach.
Hey.
Oh, so I was like, what do you mean? Mm. He says he writes out his whole sermon.
Yes.
And the person just reads
hey.
To the congregation.
Wow.
Because he said, I am the one who has been given the mandate. Right. to feed the sheep.
So when they fall sick, what happens? God forbid. And they are hospitalized for a month.
Well, they can write on the hospital bed. But okay. I found it very interesting. And he had no problem. So now, that time, this whole thing of videos and so on was just coming in. And he was very excited about it. Because now he could record himself preaching.
Mm.
Before he goes on a trip. And then on Sunday, it is just played on a big screen. And they had really, really taken care of the technology. If you're just sitting there, you wouldn't know it is not him.
Mm.
Yeah, it was done so well. But he's the one preaching. So if you're in that kind of a church, obviously, you can't come telling us that the Lord has spoken to you.
Because I wanted to ask, now where is the place of God? Because God speaks to his people.
He speaks to the elders.
And the pastor and members?
They are to listen to the elders.
Hey, majamanini.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, all these things can be justified using scriptures. Because scripture is like a jungle, it has been said, and it is true. You can pick whatever you want. If you want to kill someone, there are several verses you can use. And you will justify, the Bible says.
If it's misquoting, quoting scripture out of context.
It doesn't matter. This is what the Bible says. So there are people who can justify that. But it is not good leadership.
Mm.
No, it is not good leadership.
So what should this pastor do? Resign from this church, trust God for another work, or just comply? Because this is the style.
This is where sometimes we make a mistake. Eh? Let's put it just from a perspective of Job.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So you have studied this particular field, and now you're looking for a job. And so you're invited for this interview. You come and you say, yes, 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 I'll do. And then you come on board. And when you have come on board, is now when you start raising, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this.
Mm.
There's something that is called alignment of values and mission.
Yes.
Very important.
Mm.
This person, I don't believe that they just stumbled into this process or into this culture.
Mm.
If they were very careful, they should first have known, does this church believe the way I believe?
Mm.
Does this church practice the way I practice? And if you find that, no, they don't, don't even go there in the first place. You frustrate yourself, you frustrate the people.
Yeah.
Because what is there, what is being given to us now is a frustration from both sides.
Mm.
The elders are frustrated that this pastor wants to do his own thing.
Not aligning.
It's not aligning to our practice.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they didn't just rise up and say, give us your sermons.
Mm-mm.
No. This is what they have been practicing.
Yes.
and any good person who wants to come into that space should know that and accept that, yes, I'm willing to abide by this and align myself with this.
Okay.
But if you don't do that, then you frustrate your employer and you are also frustrated. So this person frustrated themselves by getting into a place where the practice and the culture is not in alignment with their own thinking. So that's why they are frustrated. And now they're like, I can't survive here. Why did you get there in the first place? You should have considered that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do your homework well.
Do your homework. And it's a difficult, and now I'm talking general, not just church.
Mm.
Don't just take a job because you want a job.
Mm.
Is it in line with your beliefs,
yes,
with your values,
yes,
with your practices, so that you don't go in and you begin frustrating people and frustrating yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially on faith matters, I would say, consider carefully.
Yeah.
Before you take up a spiritual ministry within a context where people believe differently.
Yes.
You know, if you are a pastor, trained as a pastor, you have been out for 3-4 years looking for a place of ministry, and then you find this place of ministry and they don't quite believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but they are offering you a very good job and offering you very good money. Do you just take it because you're looking for a place of ministry?
Mm-mm.
Exactly.
Their belief.
Your doctrinal basis must be in line with what you believe.
Okay.
Their practice, you know?
Yes.
They in theology we call this what we call orthodoxy, which is the belief.
Mm.
But there's orthopraxy, is what we practice, how we put that belief into practice.
Mm.
The two are very important,
yes,
that you are in alignment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when you start, you come, like if you were to come to Sitam as a pastor,
yes,
we have our practices.
Yeah, true.
You don't come here and start innovating on for us. How to do Holy Communion, how to do baby dedication and all those things. Mm. There's a way in which we do things.
Yes.
And whereas now all the other things we would allow you room to innovate and to be creative and so on. But there are certain fundamentals that we practice.
Yes.
And so as a bishop, I would go to church, our different assemblies, and I'm thinking, where did this person get this from? And we'll have to fellowship at the end of the service. Say, my brother,
yes,
the way you did that baby dedication is not the way we do it.
No.
The way you conducted that wedding is not the way we do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are certain things that we do. But the rest, you're free to exercise your creativity.
Mm.
Thank you.
At least you don't prescribe how someone.
No, okay. That one. Provided you are in the doctrine is right,
yes,
you are free to to preach.
Okay. One more, then we get to our topic of today, Bishop. one of our listeners is asking, is this the kind of leader who also asks for sexual favors, for promotions or benefits in an organization? A leader who practices Machiavellian perspective.
And I would say not necessarily, but they could. If you see the Machiavellian perspective to leadership is focused on the end result.
Yes.
The end result. So they will not take advantage of you for the sake of taking advantage of you. So we should not put on them everything.
Mm.
But this person will do whatever it is to get the results.
Mm.
Because for them, outcome is more important than the process.
The end justifies
the means. The end justifies the means.
Yes.
So, I don't know how that sexual favor would bring out an outcome, because that will be more for your sake, where they are saying, okay, you want promotion, this is what you you pay. That is more transactional, transactional leaders,
yes,
who would do that kind of thing, because that's their way of doing things.
Yes, you give,
you give,
take.
It's a give and take. So Machiavellian is more focused on results and how we get results. So if bribing is how what will give us results, go ahead and bribe. Yeah, what is the problem? They don't call it bribe; they call it facilitation. It is even budgeted for.
Oh, guest appreciation.
Just appreciation. Mm. So that is how the Machiavellians look at things, and because of that, they will do very crazy things in between here as they go towards their goal. Yeah.
They think of themselves first.
They're thinking of themselves and they're thinking of the results.
Okay.
The outcomes. Mm. Yeah. So it's, I'm not sure that would fit within Machiavellian. Yeah.
Okay. Sawa. Thank you, Bishop. I think we missed on those two. And thank you, our listeners, for that. Keep your questions coming on 0717-400-555. And if you're just joining us, you're wondering, what is this Machiavelli kind of a thing? Rush to Hope FM podcast on our website. You'll be able to get that session that we did last time we were together with Bishop. So what are we focusing on today, Bishop?
Today we are looking at the charismatic perspective to leadership.
Why does it sound like a Pentecostal?
It sounds Pentecostal. Mm. Yes, yes, yes. Charismatic. Mm. Charismata. Yeah. Yes. The Pentecostals have a great emphasis on charismatic.
Yes.
But the way we talk about charismatic in church,
yes,
is different from, is slightly, let me say, slightly different from charismatic leadership in general leadership. Okay. So we are not talking about the charismatic leadership in church.
No.
We are talking about charismatic leadership from a general perspective.
Okay.
And in this leadership is characterized, and that's why perhaps it fits within the Pentecostal circles, is a leadership that is based, a leadership perspective that focuses on the individual, on the leader himself or herself. So the charismatic leadership is characterized by a leader's personal charm. You know, they will win you over by their charm. There is a compelling vision. They paint for you a future that is very attractive. They have that many times. They have great speech ability, eloquence. They have a way of putting words together in a manner that is very attractive.
Yes.
So they inspire very strong emotional attraction.
Yes.
They speak to your heart, not just to your head. So these people their attraction is to themselves and their abilities, and they use that therefore to drive the outcomes that they want and to draw people towards following them or joining them in whatever they want to do. Charismatic perspective to leadership was it has been there, I mean, through the ages.
Yes.
But it was conceptualized as a leadership model by one Robert House back in 1977. So it's not very young.
Yeah, I can imagine. Where was I?
Okay. How are you?
God was thinking of me.
Oh, really? Yes. 77?
Hey.
My goodness. God was thinking of you, 1977. Yes. Where was I in 1977? I think I was in form 5.
Hey?
Okay. Yeah. No, because I was in form 4. That's when I did my form 4 exams. Because 78 is when I went to form 5. Then 79, I did form 6. And 80, I was in the university.
Hey, okay.
Grace, do you?
My parents were somewhere. Where Bishop O'Keefe. Maybe fixing.
So when we sit here, we see you on the camera with Rikayako.
Umekula tu Bishop Mekubali.
Kabisa.
Acha ninyenyeke.
So 77 is when I did my EACE.
Oh, what is that? Okay.
East Africa Certificate of Education. That was the Form 4 exam. Because at that time it used to be done across East Africa.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's when I did my EACE.
I feel like a Gen Z.
You are.
Asking where
we,
that.
Where we are. So that's when Robert House conceptualized this idea of charismatic leadership.
Okay.
And then more recently, when you have also started eating salt in 1998, two scholars called Konga and Kanungo.
Konga?
And Kanungo. Konga is C-O-N-G-E-R, not K-O-G-A.
Okay.
Kanungo. Back in 1998, very, very recently, they fine-tuned that perspective to leadership. And therefore, then they began to identify what are the components of a charismatic leader.
Yes.
These people who lead by charisma. Yes. So they came up therefore with several key components of what makes a charismatic leader. And one of them is vision articulation.
Yes.
The charismatic leader gives a very clear, compelling, inspiring vision for the future. Now, whether it is true or not, that is a different matter. But when you listen to them describing where we need to go, you feel like, I want to be part of this. It is so inspiring. It is so motivating that you just want to be part of it. So they articulate this vision with such passion and conviction. Passion and conviction are the greatest components of charismatic leadership and charismatic leaders.
Yes.
They don't say things just like that. Mm-mm. You know, they are not tentative about what they say. They don't give you room to contribute to what they are thinking.
Mm-mm.
They are convinced this is it.
Yes.
Anything else is out. Yes. So, but because of the way they put it, even if you are to doubt, you are the one who will think, hey, I must be the one on the wrong. Because this sounds so good. This sounds so good. I'm not sure about it, but it sounds so good.
Yes.
So they therefore bring this very compelling way of putting things, and the vision is put in a way that it brings meaning and purpose to the team members or to the followers. So you feel like, if I join in this, if I'm part of this, there's something that I will stand to benefit also.
Yes.
The second thing about the charismatic leadership is sensitivity to the environment. Charismatic leaders have studied the environment.
Yes.
They look at what is happening and they come up with solutions in that context.
So they look at the needs, the concerns, the dynamics within the organization or even within society, and craft solutions, proposals that seem to address those needs, so that you as a follower then sees that this is what we need to do. And that is what will attract you to follow them.
Yes.
Because they seem to have a solution to the challenges that we are facing. So they have this ability to adapt their messages to and strategies to align with the situational realities that are there. So if the organization is going through a turbulent situation, an uncertain future, they come up and bring a solution or a proposal that is very compelling, that is very inspiring. And so that enables the members to rally behind the leader so that they could do what needs to be done. So that the critical thing is charismatic leaders speak from the heart.
Yes.
And they speak to the heart.
They sound like the word that comes to mind, truthful man or woman. For true. Not this one came as a, now, but for true.
Just a disclaimer.
Okay.
They are not, whatever they say or do is not always correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is.
But it's sincere.
It. Not always. Not always. When I say from the heart, I don't mean that they believe. I mean the emotion. You see, the mind is very intellectual.
Yes.
And very rational. You know? So when I speak from the mind, you know, if you go to a seminar or workshop and you there are these people who will give you statistics and figures and tell you from 1977, this is how the trajectory has been. These are how many people and so on. You know, it is speaking to your mind.
Yes.
And many of us are not moved by figures. No. Somebody else will pick the same message, not even give you figures, but tell you why this thing is so critical.
Yes.
Why this thing is so important and why the trajectory we are taking could lead us into trouble and what we need to do in order for us to get where we want to go. And they put it so passionately that you just begin to feel like, yes, I want to be part of this. You see, now that's speaking from the heart. That's what I mean, speaking from the heart. They speak from emotions to emotions.
Yes.
So I speak with passion and I create passion in you. Yes, that's what I meant. So it may not necessarily be, what I'm saying may not necessarily be true or correct, but I say it with such passion that you almost believe it.
Yes.
So I could even get my figures wrong, you know, if I have to quote figures. But my focus is not on figures.
So have you on board.
It's to have you on board and for us to go together. So that's what I mean by speaking from the heart.
Makes sense.
Then they are sensitive to followers' needs. They understand the aspirations, the emotions, the frustrations. They want to demonstrate empathy, support, and personal concern. And that's what attracts them, attracts people to them. Because you feel you are taken care of, somebody understands you, they really give you that impression that you are important, you know, to them. So that is what attracts followers, therefore, to follow them. These charismatic leaders are generally risk takers. They are willing to take personal risk to achieve their vision. They
they will go through walls, you know, and,
yes.
and they'll cross oceans,
yes.
they will go through fire.
Mm.
And when they do these extraordinary things that have seemed very risky, and sometimes they succeed,
yes.
it even attracts the followers the more, because it makes them authentic, it
yes.
makes them look courageous and mm. bold.
Mm.
And so the members just feel like, mm. yeah,
this is the person.
This is the man, mm. this is the woman who is we need to follow. They are unconventional. They engage in actions that are sometimes countercultural, that are bold, that are contrary to what everybody thinks or believes.
Mm.
They are willing to challenge authority, mm. To challenge norms.
Mm.
So they demonstrate a willingness to go in a different direction
yes.
from what everybody else believes, and they're willing to push boundaries beyond what the organization has put in place.
This one sounds they find themselves in trouble.
They do.
Charismatic, but they find themselves in
trouble. They find themselves in trouble, but trouble is what they like. Trouble is the fuel.
Yeah.
that gets them going.
Mm.
Yeah, the more you resist them, the more the ideas.
The ideas come.
Yes, and the more they feel like they're succeeding.
Uh-huh.
Yes, so charismatic leaders are very, very interesting.
Mm.
The only thing I would say is that in an organizational setup,
yes.
it's rare that a charismatic leader would be a second-level leader, because they always like being at the front. They are the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unlikely that a charismatic leader, and if they are
second
level, third level, wherever,
mm-hmm.
they will give the leader a big trouble.
Ah.
Yes, because they will always be challenging.
Yes, yes.
And they can mobilize the crowd. They can mobilize the group against
mm.
you
yeah,
as a leader, because they can talk.
Mm.
They
listen.
And people listen.
Mm.
And they are not afraid to challenge authority.
Mm.
Yeah, so usually they are better at top level leadership rather than middle level, because they will bring you a lot of trouble.
Mm.
Yeah, so number six is that they have confidence. The charismatic leaders are confident. They believe in their vision. They believe they can achieve it. They communicate with such confidence and
mm.
certainty,
yes.
and they are able to paint pictures. They use a lot of illustrations
mm.
And metaphors and parables, and so that they are able to penetrate your mind, and you can see what they are talking about.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very powerful people. Very powerful people.
Yeah.
They have this emotional expressiveness.
Mm.
A charismatic leader will cry if it is necessary.
Ah.
If that's what will drive the point home. They will... Because they want to appeal to your emotions.
Yes. Mm.
They want to appeal to your emotions. So if they believe that crying is what will move you,
mm.
they will cry. They will say, "You people, are you even seeing what we are, where we are in, what trouble we are in? You know, there's no way we can continue like this.
Mm.
There's no way we."
And they break down.
Now
I'm confused. A couple of leaders have cried. I've cried.
Yeah, No.
And you know, I've gone through this theory, so.
Yeah, so the if that is what will get the people on board.
On board. Tutalia.
Tutalia.
Okay. Tutalia. Tamani machozi ya mamba.
Ya mamba. Ni sawa tu.
Haya.
So their storytelling, their symbols, their expressions are meant to evoke emotions because charismatic leaders.
Emotions
are very important. Very important. Okay. So, therefore, they inspire enthusiasm, collective identity, and all that. So, those are the seven components or factors that really comprise charismatic leadership.
Okay.
The as conceptualized by this gentleman that I've just mentioned. So Robert House in his theory emphasized that charisma is really an attribution that is made by followers on leaders.
Come again?
He says it is not the leader who says I am charismatic.
Mm-mm.
It is the followers who say I am charismatic.
So it's Grace who say Bishop Oginde is a charismatic leader.
Exactly.
Not Bishop Oginde saying, guys, I'm a charismatic leader.
No.
Okay.
So it is an attribution that therefore makes people to want to follow this person.
Mm.
I like the way he talks.
Mm.
I like his conviction.
Mm.
I like the boldness and courage that he demonstrates. And so on. So you'll hear people talk about those kinds of things.
Yes.
And the people who talk about those things are recruiters. Mm. They will want to bring others on board.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
Because this person.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can see now why in Pentecostalism.
Oh, yes.
all these things would then apply. And if you find a good Pentecostal preacher or pastor, you'll find a good number of these are there. And they attract crowds.
Yes.
Huge, huge crowds. Real charismatic preachers, they have huge congregations.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree.
You agree. Mm. Yes, that is their line. But it is broader than just preaching.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So the biggest challenge with charismatic leadership, before we now get into a few other things about this type of leadership, is faithfulness to the truth. Hmm. That is the biggest challenge that charismatic leaders face.
Why is this a challenge, and yet they sound to be very excellent leaders, and people are drawn to them.
People are drawn to them, but to what? Is what they are selling truthful or true? Is it right? Mm. Do you see?
Yes.
Because of their charisma and because of their passion and because of their compelling vision,
yes,
it is very easy for these people to mislead others.
Mm.
Yeah. So the biggest challenge, therefore, for a charismatic leader is to remain true and focused on reality, things that are right, integrity, and so on.
Mm.
If you find that kind of a person,
yes,
who is committed to the vision and the right one, they are committed to truth and integrity and so on, you have a powerful leader.
Yes.
Yes. They'll be able to deliver.
Mm.
But likewise, if you find one that is not on the track, it will lead people astray and people will follow.
So you have some example that comes to mind is in church circles, a cult.
Yes,
and you have
most cultic leaders are charismatic leaders.
Mm.
Most cultic leaders are usually charismatic leaders.
Mm.
So they, because you see, they one of the Nini, that with the characteristics we talked about is the unconventional.
Yes.
So they will come up with this revelation that as I was reading the Bible or as I was praying, I got this vision and so on. And they sell it in a very compelling manner.
Yes.
That you have no other choice but to believe them. And that's how people begin to follow this person who is actually leading them astray.
Mm.
Yes. So in church circles, this is very, very common, but not just in church circles, even in organizations, in international political level, many politicians fall in this category.
Mm.
They can give you very compelling.
You know, as you're saying the characteristics, I was laughing.
Yeah.
An example that came, let me say this was, then we quickly go on a break, was Tunenda Canaan. Allow us to pause there. And have this quick break. We'll be right back. You're on the Leadership Forum, and you can talk to us on 0717 400 555.
This is the Leadership Forum. Consider, if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct. Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
Welcome back to the final part of the Leadership Forum, right here, Top FM, Listen and Leave. My name is Grace Mutis, and thank you for staying right here with us. Today we are talking about perspectives of leadership, a series we began some 6-7 weeks ago, and today we are focusing on charismatic perspective of leadership. If you have any question or comment, talk to us on our line 0717 400 555. That's our WhatsApp line. We'll be sampling some of your questions as they come in. Welcome back, Bishop.
Thank you.
We stopped at the point where we say the biggest challenge with this kind of a leader is staying faithful to the truth.
Yeah, this is the personal challenge. So if you find yourself as a charismatic leader, your biggest task is to be true to yourself and to the people you lead.
Yes.
Because it is very possible for you to use your charisma and lead people astray. So that is a challenge that faces charismatic leaders. They can easily lead people astray.
So what happens in an organization if this charismatic leader has cast the vision and everybody is on board and they're excited? In the middle of that journey, the team discovers, false.
Oh, yes. That happens.
How do they sort themselves out to ensure the organization still remains stable and the team members still remain true to the vision of the organization?
That is where good governance structures can really help. Because good governance structures ensures that the CEO is answerable, is accountable. And so if we begin to notice that things are not going in the right direction, it is up to the board of that organization to come and ensure that we redirect the organization in the way it should be going.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's good governance structures, very important, especially where there's a charismatic leader. Otherwise, they can take you anywhere. Yeah.
Okay.
These are people who can come up with grand ideas, and you invest a lot of money into it.
Yes.
Only to find that it was phantom. You know, it was not there.
Hot air.
It was hot air. Okay. And that happens in organizations.
Yeah.
It happens in the corporate world. They come up with this grand vision of what we need to do and where we ought to be going, and because of that power to speak and to convince, they can convince the whole organization, and you invest billions, you know, into this project, only for it to come crumbling down because it was not carefully thought through.
Yeah.
So organizational structures and systems are very important for ensuring that even in the midst of that big dream, we are still within the parameters. We have put in place checks and balances so that we do not fly into nothingness, yeah. outer space.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I would like us to now look at the charismatic lens to leadership.
Mm.
How do charismatic people view leadership? That's what we want because we're talking about perspective.
Yes.
So how do they view leadership? Mm. And we say that how anybody views leadership is how they will practice it.
Yes.
Yes. So how do charismatic people view leadership? Charismatic people view leadership primarily as a transformational venture and a relational influence process. Now, when we talk about transformational, is that charismatic leaders don't like status quo.
Yes.
They believe that we should be going to Canaan, you know, we should be moving somewhere.
Mm.
Things need to change.
Yes.
So that is their perspective. That's how they see things.
Mm.
And so they are very quick to see gaps. They are quick to see stagnation. They're quick to see difficulties and challenges and come up with concepts and ideas on what could be done and how it could be done.
Mm.
So, and then there's that relational influence.
Yes.
What does this mean? It means that charismatic leaders love followers.
Yes.
They love people around them. They love crowds around them.
Yes.
So they are not lone rangers.
Mm.
They don't like going it alone.
Yes.
They like people around them.
Mm.
So how do I get people around me?
Mm.
That is their perspective. So leadership without followers is not leadership.
Mm.
Yes.
And this liking of followers is not like a Machiavellian who would want people, but they know, I just want this person because they'll help me get to a goal.
There's a bit of that. Because Machiavellian approach to leadership, people are pawns. People yes. are the equipment used
tools.
The tools used to arrive at where you are going.
Yes.
For the charismatic leader, people are part of your power.
Mm.
The more you have, the more powerful you are.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So these crowds around me, I may not even use them, but for you to see that I'm powerful, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So they love the presence of people yes. around them.
Mm.
So they may not necessarily misuse them like the Machiavellian approach to leadership, but they love that idea that I have many people following me.
Yes.
I have many people who believe in me and in my leadership.
Mm.
So when they look at the crowd around them, the bigger the crowd, the happier they are.
Mm.
So that is where they derive satisfaction. So they may not necessarily use them or misuse them, but there's that satisfaction that I have crowds.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So because of that approach or view or lens to leadership, how therefore they view leadership is that leadership is about inspiring a vision, a shared vision. So the first thing they want to do is to come up with a future where we ought to be going.
Mm.
And then inspire ignite hope. They are sellers of hope, meaning, and direction.
Yes.
So they give you hope. They sell you meaning, which is purpose. Mm. They show you where we are going, how we are going, and why we are going. So they believe that leadership involves crafting and communicating a compelling vision that others can follow.
Mm.
That's how they view leadership.
Yes.
Leadership is about crafting a compelling vision.
Mm.
Napoleon Bonaparte is quoted to have said, "A leader is a dealer of hope." A leader is a dealer of hope. In other words, the commodity that a leader sells is hope.
Yeah. Mm. Mm.
And we're in Hope FM.
Hope Media.
Hope Media. Mm.
We are dealers of hope.
We are dealers of hope.
Mm.
So if you can therefore craft that compelling vision and sell it to people and give them hope, that is what leadership is all about.
Mm.
So leadership is about crafting, igniting, selling hope, meaning, and direction.
Mm.
So inspiring a shared vision, in
yes.
short.
Mm.
The second thing that the perspective of a charismatic leader is that leadership is influence through personal magnetism. Leadership is influence. So they believe that, just like I said, the approach to leadership is to attract as many people
as possible,
through how I conduct myself, the things I do, the vision I cast.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what will bring people. Leadership is about influence.
Mm.
How many people do you have around you? I think John Maxwell says, if you say you are a leader and there are no people following you, then you're just going for a walk. That is part of the belief,
yes.
of this perspective.
Mm.
So leadership is about influence.
Mm.
How do you attract people to yourself? So they believe that a leader's leadership effectiveness comes from who you are and what you do.
Yes.
Your personality, your confidence, your emotional expression, all those things are supposed to attract people to yourself. So therefore, they are heavy on personal credibility, building an aura around you, exuding emotional energy that attracts people. So you'll find these kind of people, the way they talk, the way they move, the way they do their things, it's meant to attract attract people to themselves. So that's how they view leadership.
Mm.
It's about that personal magnetism, attraction. Leadership is influence. The other thing they perspective they have of leadership is that leadership is an emotional connection. This emotional connection is through helping people make sense of their situation.
Mm.
So if you are in trouble, or if we are in trouble, I come, I analyze, I show you what the issues are, but I don't stop there. I give you a solution.
Mm.
I give you a way forward, an inspiring way forward, a solution to your problems, how you can get out of your challenges.
Mm.
So that emotional connection is what also attracts people to them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
They aim to connect deeply with followers.
Mm.
It's very rare in an organizational setup for people to leave a charismatic leader. It's very rare. I don't like my job, but I love my leader.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. My leader feels.
He feels me.
And I'm scared ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is the nature of a charismatic leader. They have that emotional connection with people that attracts people around them. And they talk nicely. They exude hope. Mm. They dispel fears. They cause you to believe that you can climb the mountain. Mm. You can move the mountain, you know, you can, there's nothing that is impossible.
Mm.
We can do it. They, again, like we said, that emotional connection is built through storytellings, especially their own stories.
Yes.
Of success and sometimes even of failures.
Mm.
So they'll tell you how I was in this kind of a situation myself, and this is what happened, and this is how I was able to overcome. And what is the idea? You too can overcome.
Mm. Because it will have, I'll have connected or identified with them.
That. Yeah. Yes, yes. So these people are. So Warren Wisby, Warren Bennis, who is also one scholar, says that leadership is about managing meaning. In other words, help people to understand how this affects them and how things can be changed and how situation can turn around. So that is what leadership is, managing meaning.
Yes.
Yeah. Sense making.
Mm.
So when things are cloudy and uncertain, a leader must clarify
that
situation so that people can see things more clearly. The fourth perspective that I would mention is for charismatic leaders, I said it at the beginning, they see leadership as transformation.
Yes.
Challenging the status quo.
Mm.
Moving people from lethargy.
Mm.
Moving people from where we are to where we ought to be. They see leadership not just as management, just ensuring that things continue to happen,
yes,
but challenging the present and creating a new future.
Yes.
That is what they are. Charismatic leaders, therefore, will position themselves as change agents.
Mm.
We can do better than this.
Yes.
And one of our pastors says that.
Mm.
We can do better than this.
Yeah.
So they are daring to disrupt norms. They are daring to inspire bold action.
Mm.
And that is what leadership is about.
Yes.
Leadership, if you are a leader and you're not bringing new ideas, if you're a leader but you're not changing things, then you're not a leader.
Mm.
So for them, leadership is about changing things.
Yes.
Turning things around,
mm.
making things different,
mm.
Challenging the norms and beliefs and culture.
Mm.
That is how they view leadership, and that is how, therefore, they enter into leadership.
Mm.
That's how they evaluate leaders. You know, if you say you are a leader, we want to see what have you done.
Yes, yeah, sure.
What change have you brought about?
Yes.
You know, those kind of things. Yeah. Number five is that they see leadership as about, true leadership is about being in charge. So a leader must not be tentative. A leader must not be apologetic. A leader must not blame others or blame circumstances. Because you are there to handle circumstances.
Yes.
You are there to deal with situations.
Mm.
You are there to confront problems.
Yes.
So you cannot also be saying, oh, you know, oh, you know. You know? So they view leadership as a confident approach to tackling difficult situations.
Yes.
So when they come in as charismatic leaders into an organization, it is quickly identifying the pain points and seeing how do we turn this around.
Yes.
That's what they're about.
Mm.
Yes. Charismatic leaders. Leadership, number six, as they see it, is a moral force. In the sense that leadership is, and this can go either way.
Yes.
You know, like yes. I said earlier,
mm.
it can be used or abused.
Yes.
Leadership is about helping people or the organization to achieve its objective or their objectives or their dreams,
mm.
if it is at an individual level. And the process of doing that, there is a moral dimension to it. So good charismatic leaders will want to do or bring these changes within an ethical framework.
Yes.
Yes. So they will not want to break rules, not rules, ethical mm-hmm. conduct, and they will not, when we give examples, which we'll give shortly,
yes.
you will see how that works out. Mm. So they are grounded on ethics,
yeah.
the positive ones.
Mm.
Now, the other ones, on the other side, is the ethics are there as guidelines,
mm.
but if they stand on the way,
get
they
out.
Can be circumvented.
That's why we're saying they really need to focus on the truth, faithfulness to the truth.
Yes, that's where the weakness is. Because
yeah.
of the influence that they have and the great following that people have on them, they can twist the truth.
Yes.
They can adjust the truth.
Mm.
And talking about church, like we're talking about earlier, this is very, very common. Yes, very common. You think of people that we now call cults.
Mm.
Marion Branham,
mm-hmm.
That we now call the Branhamites,
mm.
was a very powerful biblical teacher. Very, 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 very good Bible teacher. But he got to that point because one of the challenges, like we said, charismatic leaders love people
yes.
around them.
Mm.
So the more the crowd grows and they get to that place where people almost worship them,
yeah.
you know?
Mm.
And if you're not careful, it can get into your head.
Mm.
So the within the spiritual circle, what happens therefore is that these people begin to bring extra biblical teachings, extra-biblical revelation, because they want to keep this crowd around them. So they begin to twist.
Mm.
They get they tell you of dreams, sometimes which they have not had, but it will inspire people to keep coming.
Yeah.
They can manipulate miracles, you know.
Mm.
So it requires very, very, very strong sensitivity
yes.
to be faithful to the truth and to be remain true to the vision.
Yeah.
It is very, very important.
Mm.
And this is at a personal level because it is rare that you find people who will challenge charismatic leaders.
Because they are loved.
They are loved. And they have such confidence that when you are going to tell them this is wrong, you are the one who feels you are wrong.
Yeah.
So it requires personal discipline, personal fidelity to the truth.
Yes.
For you to remain a sound charismatic leader.
Mm.
So the moral side of things is something that is both positive and negative. So you'll find that good charismatic leaders will be very faithful and to maintaining integrity, standing true to morality, ethics, and all those things. But at the same time, the charismatic leaders have been known to take off at a tangent, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly.
I feel like asking at this point, what do they need to do? Because I'm imagining the crowds. What comes to mind? Okay, let's put politics aside, because those ones from Machiavelli, we learned a few things about them.
Yeah.
But from a church circle where this charismatic leader has thousands and thousands of followers.
Yes.
And one wrong thing they do will lead all these thousands astray. So is there something, or maybe I'm going ahead, Bishop, something they need to be aware of and maybe put guardrails?
Yeah. Right.
So as not to
go astray. I immediately, as you ask that question, what comes to mind is Paul's advice to Timothy.
Yes.
He gave him two pieces of advice.
Mm.
One, he says, watch your life and doctrine closely.
Mm.
Watch your life
and your doctrine closely.
Mm. Because those are the two areas that a leader within a spiritual faith context is likely to miss it.
Yes.
Your life, when a person is very charismatic, they can become careless with their lives. They can do anything. Now you're talking about those sexual favors that were asked earlier. They can happen, you know, because this person is so powerful, and it is not them asking, you know, this is people offering in the, sometimes because of their position and where they have got from. So you almost feel favored to be as closely associated with this person. They can abuse finances and those kinds of support. They can abuse sexual relationships. So watch your life, Paul tells Timothy. And then he says, watch your doctrine. Watch your doctrine. Fidelity to the truth. So that is one advice that Paul gives Timothy. And then he goes on to tell Timothy again that in the last days, this is what will happen, you know?
Yes.
People will be lovers of this, people will do this, people will do this. And he said, but as for you, remain true to the faith that you received and preach the gospel in season and out of season. But he says you must remain true to that faith.
Yeah.
So if I find that I have this great following, which is a good thing, one of the things that as a leader I must therefore consistently and constantly do is to seek the face of God. Jesus had a great following. Great following.
Yes.
He was a charismatic leader.
Yes.
People just loved him. He did the right things. Yes. He said the right things. Yes. But the Bible says every so often he would pull away from the crowd and go to the mountain alone to be with his Father. A leader of that nature must pull away from the crowd every so often to just reflect on their own lives and reflect on their ministry and their relationship with God. If you don't do that, you could easily find yourself, whether intentionally or unintentionally, crossing red lines.
Yeah.
And that is the same. Now let's bring it in an organizational setup. Within an organizational setup, if I am a charismatic leader, and we have seen some even within our nation, great leaders who have transformed organizations, led things, you must now... In the church, the Bible is your book.
Oh, yes.
In the organization is the policies.
Yes.
It is the organizational system structures and all that. You must consistently find out, are we still, is this within our structures and system? Is it Is it within our rules and regulations? Mm. And if it is not, and you feel it is something that needs to be done, take it through the system.
Yes.
Bring it to the board. Mm. Let them discuss. This is what I'm thinking. This is what where I'm thinking we should go. Mm. Charismatic leaders generally don't like systems and structures. they don't like. They feel it is holding them back, you know. So one way is submit yourself to the systems and structures of your organization so that you can go to the board, you can go to your management team and say, this is an idea that is coming to me. And I'm thinking that we need to do this and this. What do you people think? Invite their input into it. And because you invite the input, people may come and tell you, maybe we should think about this or maybe we should think about that. And could, what if this happens and so on? That way you are a humble leader who you are unlikely, therefore, to go off at a tangent.
That must be a hard one for them, because at the beginning you said they already come, they know what they want.
Yes.
And they have the language.
Yes.
So taking input from others, it calls for humility, as you've said.
That's what we are saying. Yeah. Whether it is in the faith sector, yes, in an organizational setup, even at national level, the humility to come to the people and find out how things are going and whether this is okay and so on. And what do you think? And Jesus even asked, who are the people saying I am? You know? So what about us? Find out. What are people thinking? What are people saying? So that you get that feedback and go to the mountain and reflect.
And ask the Father
for wisdom. Ask the Father for wisdom. It is so, so important for these people. And like I said, it calls for humility. Calls for humility. Whether it is in an organizational setup or in a faith sector or at a national level, in whichever place.
Now that helps us understand, because not only locally but globally, Bishop, you've seen, I'm still drawn to church, great servants of God, men and women who have had great influence, and they fall. And people keep asking, Kwani, there was nobody to tell them anything? Now with this, it makes sense.
Yes.
If that this kind of a leader was this perspective, is not humble enough to listen to others, the probability of failing and failing hard is high.
Very high. It's very high. It's a very difficult place to be in when you are succeeding as a leader in an organization. The bottom line is growing. Profits are coming in. Customers are coming in. You know, you are expanding branches, and you are. It is very difficult to think that anybody could tell you anything. Yeah, because my work speaks for itself. you know, it's very difficult. So it takes that humility to submit yourself to your team at the first level, and submit yourself to your board at the second level, in order for them to give you feedback and input on some of these things, so that you remain true to the calling and mission of the organization.
Okay.
At faith level, it is the same. You must submit yourself. Put in place a governance structure.
Yes.
Like I said, many of these charismatic leaders, they don't have governance structures.
Mm-mm. It's themselves.
It is themselves. Mm. That is very dangerous. Have people that you can submit to, people who can question you objectively, and you can listen to their voices. People can speak into your life within your organizational setup. And that will help you to remain true. A person like Billy Graham, thousands of people wherever he went.
Yes.
But he walked that pathway to the end because he had these people he was accountable to. So that they can assist him. The last thing, I don't know how much more time do we have.
We have a couple of minutes.
A couple of minutes.
Yes, around 10.
Let me quickly just run through some examples from history and current examples of some great charismatic leaders. I'll put them under each of the characteristics that we talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first the issue of inspiring a shared vision. Who are some of these people who have demonstrated that? Like I said, Napoleon Bonaparte said a leader is a dealer in hope.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You bring hope. Nelson Mandela is a good example in this area. He inspired hope to South Africans at a time when they were just coming out of apartheid. There's a lot of confusion, and you remember it was a very difficult time how to reconcile the oppressors with the oppressed. Now the oppressed are taking over leadership.
Yes.
How do they live together? He inspired this vision of a united South Africa, the idea of the Rainbow Nation, where everybody has a place. So he really projected that idea of a reconciled nation. If you know, he even used sports, particularly rugby, to bring people together, people who had not been together. So his charisma really helped him to mobilize the blacks and the whites through a process of forgiveness and unity. And the nation just began to blossom.
Yes.
You know, it just grew beyond where it was before, which is very unusual for African nations, because normally the African nations just go down. Unfortunately, South Africa is going down in the same way. But Mandela was able to bring people together through very inspirational vision that he shared both with the blacks and the whites. And so we can use him there as an example of how a charismatic approach to leadership can bring an inspirational vision that then brings people together to move the organization forward. In this case, the organization is the country.
Yes.
When you talk about emotional connection and sense-making, which we talked about, Martin Luther King Jr., comes to mind with his "I Have a Dream."
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And Martin Luther King Jr. was a great orator. He used emotive language, biblical imagery. He painted pictures in the minds of people, you know, of this future America where the black, the white, and the others are sitting together. You know, and it brought a lot of emotional bond. Even those people who did not like him, they had to accept that this guy had something.
Yes.
Because he spoke into their hearts, he spoke, stirred their emotions, and painted this future picture. And there was a sense making that really was there. And he is also another person who now demonstrates the morality, where he said, "We cannot fight."
Yes.
A non-violent approach to transformation. And even though people really wanted to fight, he says, "No.
Yes.
We are not going to fight. We are going to do this in a peaceful manner." So a morally grounded approach to transformation eventually paid off.
Yes.
And the American, black Americans are enjoying, to a large extent, the fruit of his labor as a result. So he framed civil rights struggle as a moral cause, as something that needed to be done, not just a political one.
Yes.
It's what he tried to show is that what is happening is not morally right. So he appealed to the conscience of the people. So even if you didn't agree with him, if you had a conscience, you had to accept that what is happening is not right. Mm. So that was his approach. We look at leadership as transforming the status quo. And Robert Kennedy, F. Kennedy, said, "Some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and I say, why not?" That was his perspective. He thinks of things that are not and say, why not?
Yes.
I had a pastor who once said, why not? Why not? So whenever he shared with him an idea, no matter how, they say, why not? Yeah, why not? So that was Kennedy's approach to perspective to leadership.
Yes.
You know that he's one of the leaders who started this whole idea of going to the moon and so on. Mm. So he dreamt.
Yes.
And Steve Jobs exemplified that kind of approach to work and leadership. Job was charismatic in his ability to envision and communicate the future of technology.
Yes.
If you followed him, every launch of a new Apple device, whether it is an iPad, an iPod, an iPhone, they were not just released to the market. Mm-mm. There was a rally that was called. And people went as if they are going for a crusade. And then he would sell the idea behind the new phone.
Yes.
And the experience you are likely to get by using this new device. Mm. Steve Jobs never sold the device. He sold the experience.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So he's through his charismatic preaching of the devices. Mm. People, it's actually the iPhone group, the Apple group, it's like a cult. They don't believe that you can use any other thing other than the Apple, you know, because of Steve Jobs' approach to doing business. Mm. So he sold the idea, the experience, not the device. Mm. And that's why even if you have, say, an iPhone that you bought yesterday, and then a new one comes tomorrow, you feel like this one is
behind.
You are behind. You need to go and get the next one.
Yeah.
Because of it is now giving you a totally new experience. It is ushering you into a new future. And you don't want to be left behind, you know. Mm. So you don't say that, but my phone is still working.
Uh-uh.
No, it is not the phone. It is the experience.
Mm. I need the new experience.
I need the new experience. This one is now doing things differently. Mm. You have a totally new experience. So Steve Jobs in the technological world really exemplified the idea of challenging the status quo, coming up with new innovative ideas and bringing a new reality into the people. And it was part of his charismatic approach to doing business.
Yes.
And he succeeded.
He did.
He succeeded. Yeah. He rallied the world around his products.
Yes.
You know. Another person now, when we talk about personal magnetism, the leadership as influence, which we talked about. Mm. I said, Warren Bennis said, charisma is the result of effective leadership, not the other way around. Mm. It is the result of effective leadership. So the example here is Barack Obama. Barack Obama, his eloquence, his confidence, his ability to connect emotionally with people, especially with his audiences, made him a global symbol of hope.
Yeah.
If you remember when Obama won the elections the first time, the whole world. It is as if the whole world had been was America.
Yes. You know? Was our president.
It was our president.
Yeah.
You know, the Japanese, the Africans, yes. The of course for us Kenyans, you know, we were on top of the world.
Yes.
And everybody was claiming Obama to be theirs. Why? Because of that emotional connection of hope.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. You know? And so when he stood up, he inspired hope. He saw a world that could be different and how things can be done differently. And he connected with the people through that. So his mantra of yes, we can really resonated with people. And that is how he led America.
Yes.
And was very successful in his time as a president because of that personal magnetism. When he sold his ideas, he sold them in a way that people bought. Even his the people who were in opposition, they still had to accept that this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Then leadership as a moral force. The person that comes here, and as I said, this can go either way, that comes to mind here are two people. One on the one hand, who we already talked about, Adolf Hitler, where he says, that is what we call negative charisma. But Mother Teresa is a great example of leadership as a moral force. Her sacrificial approach to leadership, her identification with the ordinary and the suffering, her refusal to benefit from her leadership, just exemplify that highly moral, ethical approach to leadership. That leadership is not about me.
Yes.
And what I can benefit. Leadership is about what I give to people and how I help them to develop and to grow, how I lift them up from their suffering. That was Mother Teresa's approach and perspective to leadership. And the final one is leadership as confidence and conviction. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are right. Basically saying that how you think is what will determine the outcome.
Yes.
If you think you can't, then you won't. If you think you can, then you will. So confidence and conviction. Do you believe in what you are doing? Do you believe in the vision that you have? That is what will bring out the outcome. People, a person like Elon Musk, forget about his political dabbling, which I think he was swimming in strange waters.
Yes.
I think he went into unfamiliar territory and has almost messed himself up. But before that, Elon Musk is a person who had dreams and bold dreams and set out to accomplish them. That is what has brought him, made him the richest man in the world.
Yes.
He talked about colonizing Mars. I mean,
strange dreams, those ones.
Very strange dreams, but that is what led him into the space exploration from a business perspective, not just from trying to find out what is there, but how do we get people out there? From in a business perspective, the electric car, in terms of environmental conservation, that's what led him to Tesla, you know, get into the Tesla thing, and which has been very successful because of those bold dreams that have got him to where he is. Confidence and conviction. So those are some examples that we can use to just illustrate charismatic perspective to leadership.
Okay. This sounds good, but with a very big caveat to remaining true to the true north. and being a pastor.
That is the biggest. Yes, for those of us who are charismatic, that is your biggest. What can I say? You need a
compass,
a meter.
Truth meter.
Truth, yes. To find out, how am I still in the right direction?
Okay.
So that you don't deviate and find yourself in the wrong places. Yeah. But it's a very, I wish I was charismatic. I would turn the world upside down.
I thought you were.
Oh, are you? I'm not sure. You
In my perspective, you are.
Yeah, where you sit.
Yes.
Maybe where you sit, yes. Each one of us has a little dose of charisma and charismata.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see my producer is saying time is not on our side. I think we can make a prayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not?
Before we close right. the program.
Let's do that. We thank you, our Lord and Father. You have really given us a time to just reflect over leadership and talking about charismatic leadership. Who else but our Lord Jesus demonstrated how this can be practiced in a very, very practical way. Knowing when to step out, knowing when to do things, knowing when to connect and when to disconnect is something that we as human beings sometimes are not very alive to. And so I pray for all of us who have been listening, particularly those of us who are leading in the faith sector, that will be true to your word and will be true to your leadership so that we don't lead your people astray. Paul said, I beat my body and keep it under so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be a castaway. So we just ask that you help each and every one of us and those of us who have been listening in whichever space we find ourselves in this leadership responsibility. Help us to practice it in the best way possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop, and God bless you. My name is Grace Mutiso. We call it a day right there on the Leadership Forum. Remember to catch a repeat of this program on Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. anytime at the Hope FM podcast on our website. And I know you will be blessed. And I wish you a beautiful afternoon. Stand by for the news at 1. And just to say, I'm taking a short break to go and refresh. You know, Bishop said you pull back.
Go to the mountain.
I'm going to the mountain.
True.
To hear the Lord and also just to take a few breaks. So for the next couple of Mondays, you'll be with my colleague, Shiko Mbogo. I know she's been a blessing to you before. So please cooperate with her and give her a great time as she serves you together with Bishop Oginde and Bishop Callisto Dede on the Leadership Forum and Meet of the Word. God willing, we'll meet very soon and come back refreshed and having had the Lord. Have a beautiful Amen. Afternoon and bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.